So one of the things that has always driven me crazy about the live stream world is the obsession with view counts. The big red number, how many viewers this person gets versus this person getting. Oh, this person has tons of viewers. I'm a content creator. I don't have enough viewers. I want to make the definitive video that discusses, is viewer count actually important? Where do we get it wrong? What is this stat about? How many of these people are even real? And let's actually dispel all of the myths around view count and really get down to what it is. Before we begin, my name is Devin Nash. I own an agency called Novo, where we do a bunch of brand marketing deals. We take care of a bunch of broadcasters and YouTubers in the space. And we focus on platforms like YouTube and Twitch, where I like to explore these ideas, particularly around marketing and advertising. So thank you for joining me. We are going to start by kind of outlining the problem. So I think that this is kind of a big issue that not really many but talks about in the sort of ecosystem as a whole of view counts. It affects large broadcasters that every single time they get offline, if you hear any conversation between large broadcasters, they're just comparing themselves to each other and who got more or less view counts. Small broadcasters, it's also toxic because they are comparing themselves to everyone else, particularly in their own category. But what you see with viewer counts is this constant comparison game. And what my hope is with this video and exposing some of the truth behind this is that content creators and also their viewers will reassess their relationship with view counts and maybe even turn off the stat entirely. Because it is my opinion that view counts are basically totally useless as any kind of metric. We're going to discuss this, how many are even real of those viewers and what a viewer really is. But before that, I think that people should hopefully reassess their relationship with view count after watching this video because of some of the things that we're going to talk about here. There's kind of an inherent cycle of destructiveness that happens with like the viewer count obsession. And it comes from creating this idea that Twitch is this really competitive ecosystem where there's not enough for everyone to eat. That means that what happens then is like people start throwing shade at each other. There's a lot of rivalry. There's less collaboration. When in reality, if we actually look at Twitch as a whole and we look at the stats that actually matter, I'm going to show you why view count doesn't matter. And I'm going to actually show you what matters as well. Okay. So like I said, it's a problem with large and small broadcasters. Let's discuss why, like the first part of this, like just the most basic thing, we're just going to hit a directory. We're going to hit a directory for Multiverses, which is a new game that came out that's really super sick. So I sort viewers from high to low, but the Twitch default is on recommended, and this is recommended for you. So a lot of people want to understand the recommended tab and want to understand like what goes into this. This is a huge feature of Twitch. This is now enabled by default on everyone's account, but nobody really knows what it does. So I just wanted to like outline what are some of the weighing systems. It's basically a weighing system, and it's going to weigh different things. So obviously, number of viewers is one of the things it weighs, but it also weighs time broadcasted versus, like, so are you streaming in your time slot? Is your stream almost over or just beginning? Right? That all matters because they don't want to send you to a broadcast that's about to end in 20 minutes and cause you to leave the website. Chat activity matters. So how much chat is going through the screen? Tags, games and category, right? So what games have you watched in the past? If you've watched a lot of fighting games, then there's going to be a lot of fighting games recommended to you, etc. ARPGs, that kind of thing. And number of, what stat I call velocity, which is number of unique viewers that join in a short period of time. This is like, how many times have you seen a broadcast where there's like some big hype and everybody joins really fast? It will recommend that up very quickly because it thinks it's something that's going on, okay? So in the Multiverses category, we can see that CLG Void, my boy, is number one. And then following that is like Mirror Man, Mango. So something like there's Pokeballs here. Notice this is not by view count, right? So there's a guy at number four that's recommended at 79, and this is 159, right? So in the former category, when viewers were sorted high to low, this is like most of Twitch's life, we ran, we as an agency, ran a bunch of numbers on how many actual viewers find these broadcasts from these categories. And what we found was that the top five the top five in a channel, when viewers are sorted high to low, generally the top three, with some extent to these two, get the most amount of actual new people checking out. So these are people that see a new game like Multiverses, they go into the search for it on the bar, and they say, I want to watch some Multiverses stuff. They'll click on one of these five streams, but generally speaking, nobody's going to go down here and like search for these people, right? So now that things are recommended, It still affects those five streams, but notice this is not by view count anymore. It's by much more by these variables. But further than, so view count is actually not going to help you get discovered. And furthermore, something that everybody should know is that beyond these five recommendations here, pretty much you're not going to get any inbound from new viewers that are actually coming from Twitch itself. At smaller broadcasters in this like 20 range can actually test this by just saying like how many of you came in from Twitch today in a chat, and you'll see that just nobody responds or says anything. So a lot of these people with these sort of 40 to 50 viewer channels are basically just not ever going to grow on Twitch, and there's basically no point in getting another 100 viewers. They're not going to get anywhere near this this top five, whether it's sorted by high to low or whether it's sorted by recommended. So right there, view count doesn't actually matter that much for discovery. And the thing is that the better this recommendation system is getting, and I have to say, for a system that was implemented about 2 years ago, I'm actually pretty impressed by how accurately it weighs. It's not an easy feat to weigh live streams. And I think that the product managers have found a lot of the variables that actually matter. And generally, recommendations work pretty well. So the better that this system gets, the less that view count will matter for actually getting discovered, right? I assume that if we just take ego out of it and we say, why do I want more viewers? You want more viewers because you want to get discovered, you want to make more money, right? Those are the two reasons you'd want to. Or do you just want it so that you can be better than everybody else and like you're in like some ego world? There's only like three reasons why. When you really think about if you need a large viewer count, it starts to not make sense in terms of discovery, right? So higher viewers doesn't equal discovery, except in insane rare cases where obviously somebody's like taking over the entire website. So on Twitch's case, somebody like XQC, who has like 100,000 viewers, will just passively gain viewers because that this people assume there's something so crazy that. But like one of the kind of things that drives me nuts about people that are talking about new media statistics, we often hyper-focus on these like levels of broadcasters where literally only one or two of those people exist. So the number of people that like eclipse two or three broadcasters on Twitch that eclipse like 70 to 80,000 viewers. It just doesn't happen ever. So there's no reason to really discuss this because you as a content creator, the person that you're watching this for, will never be XQC, right? Most likely. And if you are, you'll have like different problems. But XQC still thinks about viewer count all the time. So maybe this video will help him too. Some of the larger broadcasters like him are a little bit better about it. Some of them aren't. So the directory system, it doesn't matter so much that you have 50 viewers versus 500 versus 5,000, but if you have 50 viewers and then you go to 5,000 in 5 minutes, that is discovery. Twitch will actually push you. So what that tells you is that getting any kind of flow from another website, like if you could make a Twitter post, you could get huge engagement, everybody checks out your stream, then Twitch will throw you into recommended for a duration because it sees that a lot of people are coming in. So this is yet another reason to diversify to other websites to build, to actually get discovered on Twitch. And think about how the recommendation system is ideally supposed to work. So what is the best stream that Twitch can possibly recommend, right? It's the stream that you want to watch the most. It's not the stream that has the most viewers. So the more that the recommended system gets implemented, the less that the viewer counts will matter. And I think that's already kind of becoming true. It only get more irrelevant as time goes by. So view count doesn't really help with discovery, but does view count help for money, right? So more viewers doesn't actually equal more money, okay? Because what Twitch is switching to now, a dynamic CPM ad revenue share model. So previously, I'll explain this, don't worry. Twitch had an advertising model called flat CPM. So CPM is 1,000 views, you get X money. What is X? Well, it's dependent on what the ad sells for, dynamic ad revenue share, or flat. Sorry, my mind blanked out there. In case of flat, it's just the rate. So flat could be like $5. Dynamic equals what you sell the ad for. So Twitch is moving from a flat system of a certain flat rate. I don't know what the, well, I do know what the rate is, but I'm just putting an arbitrary number. Dynamic to dynamic, which is going to be a rate that changes depending on what they sell the ad for, okay? So a dynamic CPM means, let's say you sell an ad for $50 CPM, you might give the streamer 25 if it's 50%. I need to do a whole other video on ad revenue counts, and I was just thinking about if I wanted to go through a tangent of exactly how this works. I don't. It's going to take 50 minutes, and we're already going to talk a lot about this. So the reason this is important is because right now, if you get a flat CPM, then 1,000 views gets you X amount of money. With a flat CPM, having more viewers technically does get you more ad revenue, but because your CPM is capped at a very low rate, you aren't going to meaningfully make any more subscribers. Number of subscribers absolutely does not equate to number of concurrent viewers. People that have 10,000 viewers and have 200 subscribers, there are people with literally 100 viewers that have thousands of subscribers. You can go check twitchtracker.net to see this. There's tons of examples of this, and I'm going to show you a couple of examples of some interesting stuff later. So the dynamic versus flat rate means that people that have a high concurrent count, unless it's insanely high, like 30,000, 40,000 viewers, will not meaningfully increase their ad revenue. 2,000 viewers versus 5,000 viewers doesn't meaningfully increase your ad revenue until Twitch switches to the dynamic model and starts selling those ads for more, which they just announced they're doing. That's a topic for another video. But it's not going to help you actually make more money except in terms of ads. It doesn't help you get more subscribers. That's actually call to action. Doesn't help you get more followers because, again, it doesn't in the directory. So let's talk about what stats actually do matter. So if I'm a broadcaster, what should I be focused on? Well, the number one most important stat, what do you think it is? The number one most important stat is actually followers. People are going to freak out because they're like, wait, what? I thought followers are totally useless, right? Particularly, it's two stats within followers. Followers gained per hour and followers gained total. So notice I didn't say number of total followers because this stat is useless. Number of total followers is usually inundated by bots. It's impossible to know how many of those accounts are active versus inactive, but followers gained per hour is users saying, I like this content enough that I would check it out again. That's huge. That's way bigger than an impression. That's a big engagement. Followers gained total is how many users said the above. So these are the two stats that actually matter in terms of growth. Let me show you what I mean. So we're going to look at two streams. I'm going to show you one, which is CoCarnage. CoCarnage is a Twitch ambassador, and he is a phenomenal variety broadcaster, very family friendly. He's been on Twitch forever. Absolutely phenomenal broadcaster. We're going to take a look at his total follows per day. You're going to see there 286, 49, 210, 76. These are net follows, okay? And I'm going to compare CoCarnage to a person who has been here just as long and is also an active broadcaster with the exact same amount of concurrent viewers, okay? So CoCarnage usually hits around like 10 to 11K. This broadcaster coming up also hits 10 to 11K, and that is Amaranth. Amaranth has about the same number of concurrent viewers, but let's check what her follower numbers actually are. 6,000, 2,500, 2,000, 5,200. So what's going on here? Why is it that CoCarnage's stream has only a few hundred followers every day net? Because this also includes atrophy of users that are going off. But then you look at Amaranth, and she has about the same number of concurrent viewers, but she is growing absolutely immensely. The answer here is because the number of people that are incoming to Amaranth's stream are not coming in from Twitch. They're coming in from other platforms that she advertises on because Amaranth has 4 YouTube channels. She has a massive Instagram. She has a massive TikTok. She has a huge network of social media where she is utilizing that to funnel to her central Twitch that then funnels out to things like OnlyFans or Fansly, which is her basic business model. CoCarnage, however, is a broadcaster who's much more comfortable just kind of chilling on Twitch. He has his core community. He's really happy with that. He does some really innovative stuff. Like just recently, he announced this mobile app, which is really cool. I think no broadcasters have really done anything like this. And it shows an example of just how far ahead his marketing team is. But CoCarnage doesn't really do the TikTok game, the extra advertising and all these other places because he's very content with like where he's at. He's cool with like the number of concurrents he has. He gets to play any game he wants for a certain number of viewers, which is a high number of viewers. He makes way more than enough money to support his family. He's good, right? He doesn't need to do that kind of stuff. Amaranth has big goals. She wants to start multi-million dollar charities. And so there's just a difference. But what this actually exemplifies, it's really fascinating, right? You take two streamers who are basically the exact same size right now, and you look at their follower accounts, you see the vast difference. Now, Code Carnage is interesting because if you look at many of the broadcasters who are this old in terms of how long they've been on Twitch, like 8 or 9 years, you actually see that a lot of their follower accounts are negative. And what is going to happen if this plays out over time and nothing different happens is that those broadcasts will eventually die. Whereas if you look at Amaranth, like this trajectory puts her on like 20 to 30K concurrent viewer range. But what's actually important about this is just exemplifying how you can see the growth or health of a stream. Now, if I weren't looking at followers gained, I would not know this because I would just be looking at concurrent viewers. Everything would look the same. So you can't judge a stream's growth or its general health by its number of total viewers, right? We would generally be saying that Code Carnage here would be on a dangerous trajectory, but Code Carnage is really aware of what he's doing in this case. I use him as an example because he's one of the very few broadcasters where it's like, this is not exemplary of like a dying broadcaster. But if you come on here and you see some of these are like negative 10, like the atrophy is greater than the growth, and the broadcaster's aware of that but not doing anything, it'll become a problem. This is something that Code Carnage could course correct instantaneously if he wanted to by like creating another YouTube channel or doing highlights or any number of things. So I'm not worried about covering that here, but just looking at the difference, it shows you the difference in health between broadcasts just by that stat, because that stat is so important. So followers gained per hour and followers gained total is super important for a broadcaster. The other thing that's really important is minutes watched per unique viewer. To get this number, you do hours watched divided by 60, and then you multiply that by number of unique viewers, and you'll get minutes watched per unique viewer. So a minutes watched per unique viewer is how long the average viewer watches your stream for. You can also just go to twitchtracker.net, and then you can just plug in your stream, and you'll see how many people are actually watching and for how long. It'll tell you per stream how long they're doing it. Generally speaking, this number is quite high on Twitch. It's anywhere from 50 to 120 minutes. To put that into perspective, people watch the Super Bowl for an average of 56 minutes, so it's a heck of a long time. And the way to understand why this is important is because this is the main way that you make money from sponsors. Because if I can say, okay, one user watches my show for 60 minutes, and I show them an ad every 10 minutes equals 6 impressions, one impression costs X, right? So obviously, you can raise the price of that impression or you can raise the number of impressions. So the two ways to scale that model. So if one user watches for 80 minutes instead, now I have 8 impressions instead of 6. So that's a good way to price things out. Also tells how much users are actually interested in your content. Number of subscribers, big surprise, right? People who have actually hit the pay button and have said, hey, I actually want to subscribe to this stream. That actually matters. And way too often, actual income and number of subscribers gets ignored. I have seen so many broadcasters that are in like the 200 to 300 range, or hell, the 1,000 to 2,000 concurrent range. I know a broadcaster who's like regularly getting like 1,000 to 2,000 viewers, and they are hitting like $400,000 to $500,000 in income. I know another broadcaster is getting that number, and they're barely making about $3,000 a month. So you can't put a price on a stream based on concurrent viewers because there's so many different ways to monetize. There's merchandise. There's different levels of engagement with your community. There's different levels of subscribers. There's so many different ways that a person would choose to support you. And looking at concurrent viewers absolutely never tells the story of how much money somebody is making. So we've shown in this video already that view count really doesn't help for ads. It doesn't actually help for discovery. And it really doesn't even help in terms of analyzing if a stream is actually growing or not. So it doesn't really do anything good. Yet despite that, we're just constantly obsessed with this idea of view count, and everybody is always talking about this. But if you actually look at how a stream is doing, which these are all public stats, like you can just look at it and see how well it's doing, you'll see that it doesn't actually matter, this kind of this idea behind like concurrence and why we talk about this. So I think that the idea of concurrent viewers is really an enormous kind of ego thing. People just sort of inherently place some kind of value that, like, I'm a better broadcaster because I get 2,000 viewers. And I remember when I was broadcasting about a year ago, I had the goal of getting to 1,000 concurrent viewers. And I was super happy with that number. I was not going to increase that number. And the reason I didn't want to increase that number, because one of the things that concurrent viewers does affect is your chat velocity. So the number of people that are typing in chat, I always like it to be kind of a focused discussion because I'm usually covering issues like this, these deep dive type things, or I'm researching for something like this. And I want that discussion to be ongoing and informative to anybody that comes in. And if you get like 5,000, 10,000 viewers or more, you just go into a chat and it's just going crazy. And a lot of people would actually judge me for my concurrent viewer count at 1,000 viewers. But what they don't know is that I was making $15,000 to $17,000 a month off of Twitch with 1,000 concurrent viewers, okay? So I don't know why everybody was giving me trouble for it. I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm fine, right? So there's this idea that we attach the importance of a person to their concurrent viewer count. Oh, I didn't even cover one of the most important things. How many of these viewers are even real? On average, 10 to 20% of the total current view count of a live stream on Twitch is bots, not logged in, inactive, or embeds. This does not include the people that just leave your stream on and leave the computer, which we can't measure. But this just includes people that are just not real, okay? So, like, if we go back, there's a nice tool here called Chatters versus Viewers. You can look at a stream like Pokewalls, who's online right now, and I'll show you the example of, like, a healthy stream. So right now, there are 9,595 users watching the stream, and actual users in the chat room, 9,994. So the difference is 399. So this number is actually, oh, this tool is actually broken, I remember. There's another tool that I would have to take some time to find. I've used it in previous videos. So I think the number actually is, it's positive 399 is the difference, but we need to find the other tool that does it. But basically you just take a look at the number of active users in the chat room versus what Twitch is reporting the viewer number to be. That discrepancy is not logged in users. Generally speaking, those not logged in users are going to be people that are not real viewers. But on someone like Pokewall stream, you can see that that's a completely healthy number. Most likely almost all of those people are real in that instance. Now, you'll find in the average stream, about 10% to 20% of those viewers are not logged in. Many of the top streams that you see, including certain very prominent broadcasters, are 30 to 40% viewbotted. And if you want to know more on that, go look at my video about legal viewbotting on Twitch, which I break that down. Some of these viewbotting streams are blatant embeds because you can legally embed viewbots on Twitch. And as long as you do it from another website, you don't actually use viewbots. And that number is closer to like 80 or 90% of certain streams. I even call out a few streams in that video. So if you want to see a spicy meatball, go look for the legal viewbots dominate Twitch. I'll actually link it in the end screen. So 10 to 20% of the current view count isn't even real. And beyond that, we can't even tell what about those viewers is really anything. We can't know if those people are at their computers. We can't know if they're listening to something else and not paying attention. We can't know if they're cats. We can't know if it's just left on at a bar somewhere. So concurrent viewers is actually a very bad way to measure anything. And is something that I think is really overblown on Twitch. This is a lot of these viewers are not even real. All right, so that is the reason why concurrent viewers are not really a great way to assess anything. And if I've left anything else out, I will make another video. But thank you everybody for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this video. Please consider subscribing to the channel since I do stuff like this on all kinds of new media marketing. And oh yeah, go check out the Patreon, patreon.com/DevinNash. There's over 70 videos there right now where I teach business and marketing stuff. So patreon.com/DevinNash. Thank you everybody. See you again next time. Bye.